Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me your other hostess, Hanako.
Hi.
Hey, Hanako. How are ya?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. We're going to talk about Orphan Black today.
Yay!
Woo! So we're starting off season 4, episode 1.
Yes.
Of Orphan Black, and it's on BBC America. And this is, it's a funny show because you don't know whether Americans are watching it or not, or how it fares. Sometimes it's always confusing to me to know how well this show does against like shows like, I don't know, Arrow or something like that. So I think it has a fourth season, so I guess it's doing okay.
Yeah, it's like one of the... I guess you can call it like one of those undercover shows. Like not too many people here know about it, at least unless you're like a hardcore geek. Most people who are casual viewers just don't know about it for whatever reason. I don't know why, because it's one of the more critically acclaimed shows that's out there on TV right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been watching it. I think I started right before the second season. People were talking to me about it, saying that I should watch it. It was a really good show, and I just never had the time to do it at the time. So right before the second season began, I believe, or right in the middle of the second season, I started binge watching. I binge watched the first season, and like even from the first couple of episodes, I was hooked. I mean, you have a lead actress, Tatiana Maslany, who is playing like 9 or 10 distinctly different characters who are clones. And I was just so amazed at the different personalities she brought to each character. It just, I got sucked in, and I've been sucked in ever since.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did not want to watch it at first, or I watched it and I was just like, eh. So it kind of grew on me, and then it got really, really good. I think my favorite who draws me in is Felix, because he's so funny and he's just so fabulous. And Tatiana is just, yeah, I have to agree with you on the acting chops. Sometimes you can kind of get a little hint, like one of her characters will do something another one will do, but it's rare that she even slips up, you know, and melds characters together. But right. It's just fantastic. I don't think we've seen anything like this before. I mean, I think it's a pretty good show, and it has to do, and instead of, you know, it's no spaceships and aliens, or it's not in outer space, it has to do science fiction with like actual genetic hacking, biohacking and things like that. So she's a clone. I enjoy that about it. And I enjoy that I think this show embraces its Canadian-ness. It doesn't lie and say it's in, like, Oregon when it's really in, like, Vancouver. It accepts that it's in...
Right.
Where is it? It's Toronto, I think so.
I believe so, but they have... You know, some of the characters are in... you know, quote unquote, other parts of the world. But yeah, it's based in Canada, I believe. And it's, amazing. Mm-hmm. I think we've only covered Orphan Black on the
show? Yeah, we've done it once before.
I think once. So we're gonna try to change that. But I think this is another one of those shows I kind of pushed on to Kat.
Yeah, Hanako don't mess around. She's just like, no, nah, get...
You have to have someone to talk about it.
Oh, no. Yeah, school is still in. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, the fashion show's over, but, you know, I'm trying to graduate, get a job so I can, you know, like, live.
Yes, we know.
Unless I'm coming to your house and crashing on your car.
No, You know, I will have extra rooms because I have one daughter who has already moved out, and I have another one who will be actually, she'll be going to school in New York in the fall. So make you guys can train, please.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So for the fourth season, they decided to do something different that I felt was very unexpected because I have not been keeping up with the Orphan Black news or on Twitter or anything like that. So it feels like that they could quite possibly be doing like origin stories. So they're going back in time, flashbacks to Beth.
I knew from the promos that they would be talking about Beth, but I did not realize that for the first episode, we were going to get like pretty much what they did. They started from where we saw Beth, and they kind of went backwards to how she first got into the whole clone business, like how she discovered that she was a clone. So they're going back and they're showing us this story in bits and pieces. So it's really fun because we get to see characters that were killed off in the last couple of seasons, like Paul and Dr. Leakey.
Yeah.
And in doing this jump back, we're also introduced to another clone that we have not seen until this season, which is MK. And she strikes me as like a younger
Cosima.
Not necessarily Cosima, kind of, sort of, but she reminds me of Helena in her mannerisms, as far as she seems kind of innocent in a way, just the way that she speaks to Beth, and, you know, she's kind of trying to take care of Beth. Helena can have that kind of, she has that about her, even though her vicious side usually is more dominant because that's all she knew. But as you see, when she's with her sisters, she reverts back to more of a childlike being. And that MK kind of reminded me of that. So
I feel that. I felt a mix of Helena and Cosima, because she can like hack and do weird stuff. So
yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I kind of felt about it. But
we've got that clone, and you know, we're kind of seeing where Beth has really started suspecting Paul of being something more than just her boyfriend. She's starting to suspect that he is spying on her, and also we get to see the whole flashback of the shooting of Maggie Chen and how
happened. That was pretty cool. Well,
which was interesting, and then also we get to see a little bit about her partnership with Art. And, you know, this episode really, really opened my eyes as far as why Art was being such a dick to her in the first season. Because I didn't like the character of Art at all in the first season. I hated that character. I was like, why is he acting like this? And how, you know, how dare he hold her money and keep her money from her and stuff? But now we know it's because he was a little confused, because the last time he had seen actual Beth, you know, they had just slept together, and, you know, she and Paul were supposed to be, she was supposed to be breaking things off with Paul, or she had broken things off with Paul, however you wanted to interpret that last conversation. And then all of a sudden, she's coming to him and acting like, you know, she's acting very strange, and there's no, you know, there's no familiarity with them. And of course, we all know it's because Sarah Manning took over Beth's persona, but Art had no clue. So the first season, the whole first season, I emphatically hated his character. I did not like him, did not understand why he was acting the way he was towards her. But now that I see what happened between them, it's like, oh, this makes sense. First you come to him and you're upset and you sleep with him, and then all of a sudden now me and Paul are working things out, we're gonna leave town. And yeah, I can imagine I would be, you know, I would probably be pissed off too. So yeah, the episode kind of answered a lot of questions as far as what's been going on for the first three seasons, but now we've got more questions.
Yeah, we do. I do feel like we have more questions, and I feel that we sort of could put together already from the backstory, from what they their exposition that they've all we've already knew kind of what happened and we could figure it out. I'm not quite sure if they needed to show us the MK clone. I'm not sure what that's going to be about. Is she going to die? Or no, she can't be dead because she at the end of the episode warned up to date
Sarah.
Right. She's still living and has been nowhere this whole time. And weirdly enough, whatever. But I do want to see more because the Neo, what do we call them? The Neo...
Neolutionists.
I found that fascinating because I didn't get that vibe from the show before. Like with the club, maybe I haven't been paying attention, but I didn't feel like before they were just like the human plus people or the body modification people. I didn't know there was a club, or maybe I did and I forgot. Has the club always been a part of it, or
I don't know. I think the club was maybe mentioned in season 2, but I'm not sure. But of course, this is also flashback because we saw Beth in the club, so there's no telling what may have happened to the club between Beth first visiting it and now, especially with kind of the shakeup in the hierarchy at, you know, for the Leader Project and I cannot think of where Rachel was that Delphine was a part of. My mind just went blank, but
yeah, I forgot all that stuff.
They've been through lots of personnel changes, I guess, because Dr. Leakey was killed and then Rachel took over and then Rachel was injured and Delphine took over and then Delphine was kicked out and she was shot at the end of last season. So we don't know what's going on with her. We don't know if she's even still alive. So, and we don't know who's in charge now. So it's kind of up in the air. I think the MK character will probably bring the story full circle since she was the one who kind of initiated things with Beth as far as telling her what they were. So I think her character will probably bring more insight into the whole project and how the clones came to be and what their true purpose is. So I don't know. And that maybe after Beth killed herself, maybe that just caused MK to go underground. Because if you remember, Beth's suicide was, it was local news because of the fact that she was a cop and she killed herself in such a public way. So if MK saw that, she may have freaked given the fact that she was the one giving Beth all of this information. So, you know, she probably just went underground for a little while. And now that the whole clone story, I won't even say is picking up, but it's like there's more of them out there now. And of course, now we've got the male clones and the story is just getting bigger. So maybe with her, I don't know, with her hacking and her keeping an eye on things, maybe she's finding that information out and she's, you know, basically trying to save the rest of them in a way that she couldn't save Beth from. So I'm looking forward to seeing what her character is about.
Right.
But I also want to, you know, as much as I like catching up on the past, because again, we're fleshing out the characters. We get to see a little bit more about who Beth was because she's always been kind of an enigma to us. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we only get her in bits and pieces through the rest of the clones who knew her. And just the information that they've been able to, Sarah's been able to figure out just by piecing her life together. But also, I really want to see what's happening with Sarah and Kira and the current people now, because they're on the run. They're in some remote snow surrounding
Hoth.
And now they've been found. So it's like, what's going on? I want to see that. So I'm pretty sure we're going to jump back to the present in next week's episode or this week's episode. But yeah, I kind of like the flashbacks. I like finding out more about the characters. And like I said, it made me like Art a little bit better because now I know what his motivation was for being such a dick in the first season.
Well, I think too, he's grown on us just by being cooperative, and he kind of evolved into a good guy. Because yeah, he's pretty cranky, but understandable.
Yeah, you know. Also, I think maybe now I feel like he probably has kind of a thing for Sarah too. So I don't know.
Who knows? Geez.
Something about those clones.
Oh yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I felt like at the beginning of this episode, season four, that I needed to do a rewatch because I've forgotten so much. I know they had the weird cult, but I forgot if they had the club or not. Now, since you don't remember it either, so I think that is new. But I think it's interesting because you have all these, this corporation in bed with a religious cult surrounding the clones, and then a club with like people using it as like a culture, underground culture or something like that.
Right.
And I think that's interesting. Do they have too much going on? Am I bored with it? No, not really.
I don't think, maybe it's not either of those. I think one of the things I don't like about these types of shows, or the one, you have short seasons. The episodes, there are only 10 episodes in a season. And then we have to go a full year before we see, you know, before we get the rest of the story. And I think in that, it kind of, it does cause a little bit of memory loss, because with regular shows, you know, fall shows, we get the series throughout the fall. They go on a hiatus in the middle of the winter. They come back in the, you know, January, February. We get some episodes. We get a short, you know, 2 or 3 week hiatus, and then they finish out in like anywhere between April and May. And then of course we get them right back in September, October. So there's not a big break for us to actually forget things. We actually, you know, it's not a year. Yeah. So when you're thinking about this show, we're in the fourth season. So that means we've got 3 prior years of shows that have happened. And, you know, what I tend to do is I usually try to do a rewatch of the previous season before a show starts. But there's been so much going on TV and so much going on in movies that I just haven't had the time, because it's taking all I can, you know, with regular life to get caught up with everything that I currently watch. So I don't think it's just us being bored. It's just, you know, the hiatuses kind of make it hard to remember certain details, especially if it's not one of the only shows you watch. I mean, we have a large viewing list that we cover. And we don't even record and talk about everything that everybody watches. So it's just
it's coordination. We'll get there. We're trying to get up to speed. We had 3 podcasts released last week, so we're doing a good job, I guess.
We are, but I'm just saying, it's just, you know, there's so, it's different from when we first started. When we first started with Sci-Fi Party Line and I started with you, you know, we had some good shows, but it was nothing like it is now. There's so much good stuff on TV right now. So it's just kind of hard to go back and do a rewatch of, you know, the previous seasons and then follow into it. There's just no time. So, but I, as far as the club, I don't, like I said, I don't remember. I do remember them talking about, you know, the different groups, or, and I think part of that was kind of, we saw a little bit of how the groups splinter off with the Prolethians. So,
that's the religious group I was talking about. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, maybe this is just their way of getting us into the other side of it with the Neolutionists. So, you know, they're probably just going to go in depth more with this, because we've heard them talk about it a little bit in the last few seasons. And, especially now with the male clones, and there's obviously a bigger picture. We now found out the military is, you know, involved with Project Caster. And so this little clone thing is taking on a life, and we're getting introduced to the many, many different aspects of it. So we'll see. We know that there were several more Sarah clones out there that we haven't even been introduced to physically yet. You know, I think Beth had birth certificates for some of the other ones and information when she was trying to research. So who knows how big this is.
My God, like, why are they, I don't, Well, it's interesting. I know a lot of people do watch it. I am interested to know what happened to Rachel and all that. And I guess, like, this is the first time we discussed a new episode when there was only one. Yeah. it's the first time in a long time. We usually have like a whole season to catch up on and we forget everything. But this one, there's just so much peril. And I don't know, are they going to keep up with the backstory or was that just like something they did for the premiere? Like, I don't know. And I don't know if I care or if I will hate it or dislike it or love it or I don't know, because I don't know, this show, you just kind of have to take it as it comes. It's just a weird show.
It's weird, but it's weird in a good way.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think maybe with the backstory, we may get it now periodically through the season. I don't think they're going to focus on it like for a whole episode like they did. I think this episode was kind of to set everything up for what we're expecting to see, especially since they introduced MK and now she has made contact with Sarah, so she's going to be pulled into the story. I mean, we've still got a lot of stuff to see. Like, I can't, I know Sarah is on the run. She's disappeared, but we need to know what's going on with Cosima. Cosima was sick and, you know, Helena was, you know, she was rescued or she escaped from her captors. And now we've got to see what's going on with her and her pregnancy. And, you know, I do know that one of the previews for next week is going to have to do with digging up Dr. Leakey's body out of Allison and Donnie's garage. And that promo was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Because the promo, they're digging him up. And, of course, they didn't really wrap him or bury him properly. So when they uncover him, they get the smell. They start vomiting. And Donnie's like, this smells like hot garbage juice. And yeah. So we're going to see Dr. Leakey again. I don't know why.
Oh, maybe his body, unless they got to reanimate him.
No, I don't think that. But I think, you know, the fact that his character is coming back into play for whatever reason, whether it's because they need to hide him again or, you know, I don't know. I just know that it's going to, they're going to take us on an interesting ride, especially, like I said, since they are going back and giving us a fuller version of Beth's story, I think the story is about to get a lot juicier than it has been.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm always happy to see Matt Frewer.
Yes,
I just love him as a person, and he like doesn't age or something. It's just weird. So I he's just always funny, and I'm always glad to see him in my sci-fi. So
yep,
yeah. But yeah, this might be a short episode, Hanako, because we're done, kind of.
Yes. It was the first episode of the first season, and we actually got to talk about it right afterwards, which is
cool. So that's cool.
We'll keep this up this season.
All right.
And see what's going on and try to deconstruct the clones, figure out what's going on with them and
yeah.
Stuff. So we'll see. Yeah.
We'll do that. So guys, that's our show. Give us a call, 773-336-2686. We do have a website, and that is scifipartyline.com. You can leave messages there by logging into your Facebook account, or you can actually go to Facebook and we have a group and a discussion group. We're on Twitter and Google Plus and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you had a good show or good time or whatever. Thank Oh, I don't know why I try to do that from memory every time and mess it up. Well, I should know it by now, 7 years. Okay, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye. end of line.